Title, Live Free, Live Forever. I'm sure we're all familiar with the motto, Live Free or Die. Certainly that also summarizes the price of freedom. But I think to summarize what Jesus says here in the scripture passage that we're going to look at, maybe live free, live forever. And the scripture passage is found in John chapter 8 and beginning at verse 31. It says that Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, you are really my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." "We are descendants of Abraham," they answered him, "and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free?" Jesus responded, "I assure you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in the household forever, but a son does remain forever. Therefore, if the Son sets you free, you really will be free." So live free, live forever, I think, to summarize what Jesus is saying there. That motto, live free or die, you may have seen that on a license plate. I don't know out here whether you'd see a New Hampshire license plate. You might. Anyone here from New Hampshire? I didn't think so, but great state. And it's adopted this motto that many nationalities have actually adopted. I think it came originally maybe through the French Revolution, that period. Live free or die. And then certainly it would seem to capture the this movement that we see in our day. It's called the Arab Spring over in the Middle East. But these nations that are wanting their freedoms, I think it's a desire that God has put in the human heart to be free. Maybe part of that being created in the image of God, that we want to decide our own destinies. We want to be free to choose the path that we should follow. Well, Jesus put a little different slant on that, and so I want to look at what Jesus had to say about freedom. Live free forever, I think, could summarize what Jesus said here. And he tells us where true freedoms lie, or where true freedom lies, rather. And I want us to think about the words of Jesus here, because I believe here we have foundations for our freedom. I think it's why we as a nation are a free nation. Because I believe that our founders understood certainly the scriptures, they understood the teachings of God's word, and so they realized that God had created us to be free. What does that mean, or how can we ensure that we will continue to walk in that freedom? Well, I believe, first of all, Jesus is saying to weigh its word. That is the word of freedom. The word that Jesus spoke here, the word that is found in the Bible. Because Jesus claimed to be not only the author of the words that he spoke during his earthly life, but he said, speaking of the entire scriptures, "They are they which testify of me." And so he really took ownership of the entire scriptures. And he said, not one jot or one tittle, in other words, not even the smallest letter or the dot of punctuation, shall pass from the law, or from the scriptures, he meant, until all is fulfilled. So we would do well to weigh the word. And I want to suggest to you, based upon the teachings that we have here and in other scriptures, that word is a particular word. And what I mean by that is that we're not talking about any word. We're not talking about any holy book, because there are many books that claim to be holy. We understand that. So we are talking about a particular word. Jesus said, if you continue in my word. Now, he wasn't speaking there as just the ideal man, or that he was speaking there for the entire human race to kind of be inclusivistic in that sense. But no, he was being very particular here. I believe you would agree with me on that. He said, if you continue in my word, then you will really be my disciple. So it was a particular word. And in fact, the Bible says that if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. That's found in Isaiah 8:20. So the Bible is very particular, very strict as far as saying that it is the word of God and there is no other. There is no other book like this. There is no other book that expresses completely and fully the will of God and the word of God. So we're talking about a particular word. I'm sure you would agree. We're talking about a pursued word here, or Jesus is suggesting this, that we must pursue it, that we must continue, he said, in my word. If you continue in my word. Now, I think we would agree, I would hope we would agree, I certainly do, that he's speaking to me, he's speaking to you. Not just to the Pharisees, or whoever it was, the Jews, among the Jews, apparently unbelieving Jews, at this point at least. But he was speaking to all of us, that we must continue in his word. So he suggests here, or it suggests to me the thought, that we must pursue the word. Douglas MacArthur said, no man is entitled to the blessings of freedom unless he be vigilant in its preservation. Now, I think we're talking about vigilance here, of knowing what is the ground of our freedoms. The truth Jesus spoke of here. If you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's the whole crux of the issue, isn't it? Truth. We're talking about truth. We're talking about truth without error, truth that will never lead us astray. I mean, what can that be other than ultimate truth? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. A very exclusivistic statement, getting back to that particular. But we are to pursue truth wherever it leads us in order for it to change our lives. So we're looking at weighing the word, particular, pursued, perused. What Jesus is saying is that we must continue. We must go beyond that. We must know his word in order to really be free. Paul said to Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And another scripture says in James 1:25, whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, this man or person, meaning, shall be blessed. Weigh its word, Jesus is saying. Secondly, we are to walk in its way, or walk its way. A little redundant there, walk its way. But Jesus spoke of himself as being the way, truth, and the life. The first century Christian faith was, before they were known as Christians, it was known as the way. You may know that. Maybe after, they were called Christians first in Antioch, we're told. But another name for believers, one that I believe that they chose themselves, I think Christian was a moniker that was put upon them by people who didn't really like Jesus fanatics. The name that they love to use for themselves is the way. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we not only need to know it, we need to walk in its way. And this, I'm going to get a little topical here. This isn't strictly exegetical in the sense that we're dissecting this passage of Scripture. I hope you'll permit me to do that. But certainly he's speaking there of an abiding way. He said, if you continue in my word. Now that suggests to me that Jesus is still Jesus. In fact, the Bible says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is no longer on this earth in a flesh and blood body as we have. But the Bible says he ascended back to heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, And one day He will come again. One day, I believe, very soon. But in the meantime, we can have a personal relationship with Him through faith. We can be seated at the right hand of the Father with Him. A wonderful truth that maybe we sometimes don't think as much about as we should. But that's where we are according to the Scriptures. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are bound with Him. Your heart is bound with Him. You are a new creature, a new creation in Him. And you are seated at the right hand of the Father with Jesus. So He's speaking here of an abiding way. The Bible says, stand fast in the liberty with which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Because we so soon forget that we are set free in Christ. And we begin to think, you know, what can I do to make God like me? How can I be a better, how can I be a better Christian? Well, that's certainly good. But if we're thinking that because we have to do that to earn our salvation, then we have strayed off the way that Jesus is speaking of here. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I think, doesn't it suggest that we must keep our eyes upon Him? That we must realize that He is the one who ultimately will save us. If we're not, haven't been saved, He will take us to heaven after this life is over. He's what it's all about. He is our Creator. He's our Redeemer. So, abiding, abundant, Jesus said, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So Jesus wants to give abundant life. He doesn't want us to be fretful and to be lacking in things that we need. The Bible says that my God will supply all your need according to His abundant riches in Christ Jesus. We don't have to be beggars. We don't have to wait for the government to give us, you know, our needs. We look to God. Our eyes are to Him. And He has promised to supply our needs. So it's not just about physical needs, though. It's about spiritual needs. And living that abundant life means that we have a life of purpose and joy and fulfillment. So abundant, absolute. Jesus said, if the Son, therefore, makes you free. Son, S-O-N, makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And Jesus invites us, as He did the people of His day, to become His disciples. Isn't that a wondrous thought? It is to me. If you continue in my word, doesn't that suggest that it doesn't matter who you are? You can be a disciple of Jesus. So think about that. Think about what Jesus is saying here, walking the way of freedom. So weighing the word, walking the way, but thirdly, working the work. Now that sounds really redundant, but I'm using work here as a verb and a noun. So they're a little different. I think you'll agree. I hope so. That we are to work the work of freedom. In other words, it's not something that's just plopped down, given to us, and we never have to worry about it again. We never have to be vigilant, for example. Well, we do have to be vigilant. That's the point. The work of freedom is a hard work. Because, you know, just as in Jesus' day, there are those who had make us slaves, frankly, and make us enslaved to their doctrine or their legalistic scheme to really control us, to control thoughts. I mean, there are many like that. The Pharisees were not the last of the breed, unfortunately. So Jesus wants us to be free, but we must be vigilant. We must resist the legalism that is, you know, I think in all of us, frankly, thinking that we have to do something to earn our salvation. Jesus said we can be free. We can be free from our past sins. We can be free from the power that sin has over us. Not that we will escape that power entirely, because as long as we are in this body, we're going to sin. But we have this wonderful freedom that Jesus has given us. Forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life, and just knowing that Jesus accepts us the way we are. But we have to be vigilant in that. It's a hard work, this work of freedom. I've been reading a book I shared this last week, I think, about the book was written by Irwin McManus, who's the pastor of Mosaic Church in Los Angeles. And I read a chapter. I've been reading this book. I've set it down several times, and then I picked it up again. And I read about three or four other books in the meantime since I started this book by Irwin McManus. So it's not really an easy book to read, but it's a wonderful book. It's called The Unstoppable Force, speaking of the church as an unstoppable force. And he spoke of how Christianity, wherever it has gone, has given this freedom that has liberated people to be what God created people to be. Now, in some cases, of course, that means that there are going to be people who choose to worship in another faith, let's say. Even those who will choose to be atheists. But we have the freedom in our society. The freedoms that we have are because of the freedoms that we read about here, that Jesus gave us. Really, this is our Emancipation Proclamation, if you will. These words of Jesus. That would be a good title for this message. Didn't think of it at the time. But it's hard, it's heard, or it should be heard, I think is what I mean by that. In other words, these are the words that give us freedom. Will we hear them? Will we do more than hear them? Will we heed them? We must heed if we are really going to experience that freedom. Obey. Jesus is talking about obedience here, following Him as His disciples. And He said, if you continue in My Word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, we all know about the Liberty Bell, I trust, in Philadelphia, that I remember learning this as a child, that it was cracked, and I don't know that Davy Crockett shot a bullet and it filled the crack. I think that's maybe a little mythology there. But apparently the bell was cracked when it was founded. I mean, when the bell was cast. It had to be recast and periodically maintained to continue ringing. So it's really an ongoing thing. I think it still is. I think they're still doing some repairs on that bell. Otherwise, it would just fall apart. And I've thought about that many times as a really metaphor for our need to be vigilant. Jesus calls us to be His disciples, to be bound to Him as His servants, as His slaves even. But only by becoming a slave of Christ can we be truly free. Jesus.